morning. Happy fourth Sunday of Advent, or we could say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm so delighted that you are here with us today. My name is Amanda Ack, and I'm the Minister of Spiritual Formation here at Greystone. And on behalf of this congregation, thank you for joining us on this, the fourth Sunday morning of Advent. The prophet Isaiah said to us that a little child will lead them. And so as we enter into this Christmas Eve, this service is praying and hoping for the blessing of God, and that indeed the children would lead us into the story and into the magic of this revolutionary kingdom of God that breaks out in front of us through Emmanuel, God with us, coming to earth. Welcome. You may be a guest with us this morning, and if you are, we are delighted. There are guest cards in the hymnal racks right in front of you. If you would take a moment, fill those out, and a little bit later in the service when the offering plates are passed, you can just leave us that information. It's a good way for us to get information to you. So please, as you are able, take those cards, fill them out, put them in the offering plates a little bit later. But this is a place and a morning of greeting and welcome, because we are welcomed not only by the Christ child, but by these children and by this congregation who represents God with us. So would you stand, greet each other, even wish them a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Our world knows much of sorrow and sadness, but we may rejoice, for our God has come to turn our weeping into laughter, our mourning into gladness. This morning we light the candle of wonder. Truly the great extravagance of God's gracious and beautiful gift, the gift of his very own Son, causes our hearts to fill with wonder, excitement, and anticipation. May the brightness of God's gift shine in our world and in our lives.
May we pray. Our Father in heaven, you have given us the wonder of Christmas with the birth of your Son Jesus, the wonder of the Christmas spirit of peace, love, and joy, the wonder of your love for us as we strive to be all you wish for us, through our giving to others, as we open our hearts and our minds to receive the blessings you place within our reach. The wonder of your patience as we come to you asking for answers and direction for our church and open our hearts and minds to receive your direction. Please be with us, Lord, as we celebrate the gift of your Son, Jesus, for our salvation and eternal life with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we pray. O God of grace and God of glory, you who spoke through an angel to a young girl so many years ago, telling her that she would give birth to a son, not just any son, but the Son of God. Even as we hear that story time and time again, we are in awe of it. Give us the peace to stop and to reflect. A young virgin girl gave birth to the Son of God because you, the Creator, wanted to live in the world thy hands have made. How marvelous, how glorious, how wonderful is your love for us. We try to make sense of it. Was she really a virgin, or is that just a part of the story? For Lord, it just seems so hard to believe. And so we wonder. We wonder how hard to believe that story must have been to the shepherds in the fields where they lay keeping their sheep. Or how hard it must have been to believe for the wise men who came from a country far, or to the innkeeper who must have heard about the child who was born in the stable because there was no room at the inn, or even to the young Mary and Joseph, even those who had been told what was to happen. Lord, may we be filled with that same sense of wonder. May we have the excitement and the curiosity of the shepherds and the wise men at the birth of Jesus. Grant in us each the grace to experience the birth of Christ anew in our own lives. Lives crying out for hope, for peace, for joy, and for love. Give us eyes to see Emmanuel, that God is truly with us. For we know that the Holy Spirit can offer moments of wonder in all things, even in the sharing of the Nativity story by our own children. We pray that you are with them as they share this story, and that you are with us as we worship a God who comes to our world in the form of a child, and who brings a sense of childlike wonder with him. For it is in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
This is the prophecy of Isaiah. The people who have walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined.
That the entire world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house of David and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
that were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Said to one another, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Thank you. after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. Father, in this season, we celebrate your gift to us by giving and receiving gifts from each other. We thank you for the best gift of all, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. But now we give to you gifts, our financial gifts, to support your work. We ask that you take these gifts and bless and multiply them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you to our children for leading us in worship. Thank you to their parents, and thank you to our leaders for helping us enter Christmas Eve this way. So we have watched, we've waited, we've even wept, all in our journey to the manger together. And today we all gather around the manger so beautifully portrayed by our children, and we wonder. Perhaps we wonder what that night was really like. Were the animals subdued and quiet, or were they noisy and curious? Did the shepherds tell their families that they were leaving, or did they just go? What about the sheep? Did they take them along for the journey or leave them behind, trusting that if that angel was truly a messenger of God, that God would somehow protect their flock? Or was the excitement and the wonder so strong that they left without any of these worries? We wonder how long it really did take the wise men to get there. We wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking and feeling. All births bring a sense of wonder, anticipation, and, let's just be honest, a little bewilderment and trepidation. Mary and Joseph's worries of getting it right and being the best parents possible had to be the highest of any parents in all of history. They were going to be the parents to God's own son. I kind of think that Mary and Joseph had to be wondering quite a lot that night. They had to wonder what was coming next and what the future would hold for them under such unusual circumstances. Every year, even though I have heard and seen and told and been part of portraying the story myself 1,000 times, I find something new. I gain a new question, and I am struck with a new sense of wonder regarding this mysterious and amazing story. Every night at our house, we have story time. Most nights that each of us takes a kid and we get one-on-one time to read to them. But during Advent, we read Christmas stories together as a family. As you can imagine, I have a pretty large collection of Christmas stories. I have a whole box just for the Christmas books. They range from funny and silly to sweet and sentimental. And of course, plenty that tell the true story of Christmas. I realized this year that it was time to add some new stories to my collection. The kids are getting a little bit older, so I did what we all do, and I reached out to Facebook to my friends to say, hey, tell me what I should add to my collection. Over and over again, the recommendation was to add the best Christmas pageant ever, a story that I had known the premise of. In fact, I kind of thought that I had read the book. But as we began reading the book together, I realized that I hadn't, and that I had been missing out on a treasure of a story for all of these years. The book tells a story of a group of church kids, much like our own, and their journey to the manger as they prepare to put on the annual church Christmas pageant. As you can imagine, as the children's minister in charge of pulling this off this morning, I kind of flipped each page with a sense of wonder, wondering what would happen next in the story and wondering what would happen with our own precious ones this morning. As the story begins, the woman who has always directed the pageant finds herself in the hospital, unable to direct, and no one wants to take that responsibility over for her. The poor woman who ended up with this unexpected job was overwhelmed with expectations. Expectations from the children, expectations from their parents, and most of all, expectations from the longtime director who called her daily with advice and admonishments, and you shouldn't have done that, and I always do this. Her job became infinitely harder when the Herdman family, all 6 kids, showed up. The Herdmans were well known around the town and not for a good cause. They are all bullies. And the school kids are scared of them. They're on a first-name basis with the fire department and the local law enforcement. In truth, they had really just come to church for the cake and the donuts. And it was a shock when all 6 kids were the first and only kids to volunteer for the roles of Mary, Joseph, all 3 wise men, and the angel of the Lord. This year's pageant was going to be full of herdmans, making it possibly the worst Christmas pageant ever. So everyone thought. The herdmans were not really churchgoers. Remember, they really just wanted the cake and the donuts? But it became quickly apparent that the herdmans had never even heard the story of Christmas before. So before any rehearsals could begin, the story must be told. To everyone's surprise, they were very interested in the story. They wanted to learn more. But their interest in the story was unique. Everything had its own herdman twist. They were irritated with the innkeeper who wouldn't let Mary and Joseph have a room. In fact, they were kind of irritated with the whole town of Bethlehem, thinking that surely somebody would have something better than a stink-filled stable. They were unimpressed with Mary and Joseph's parenting skills, and they didn't really know what to think of the angels. The only thing predictable was their interest in Herod. The other children assumed that the herdmans would really kind of like Herod, maybe even see him as a hero since he was a bully himself. But just the opposite. The herdmans despised Herod and could not believe that anyone would want to harm a baby. As far as the herdmans were concerned, the wise men were just a bunch of dirty old spies. Herod needed a beating, and maybe Mary and Joseph needed a visit from child welfare for putting Jesus in a feed box. Rehearsals included pushing, shoving, threats, yelling, Mary in the form of Imogene Herdman smoking a cigar in the bathroom, and a visit from the fire department. Everyone expected this pageant to be the worst pageant ever. Rehearsals had proven that the potential was very high for large amounts of chaos and that the herdmans were wholly unpredictable. The night of the pageant arrived and the herdmans were just that. They were unpredictable. Imogene, as Mary, took the baby into her arms and she cradled him there. Instead of placing him in the manger and looking down upon him as instructed, she pretended to burp him, to cuddle him and to settle him down to sleep, just as a real mother would. If you looked closer, you could see the tears in her eyes as she wept at the beauty of the story unfolding around her. The angel of the Lord, the littlest sister, Gladys, the meanest of them all. She came through with reckless abandon and shouted her line, "Hey, unto you a child is born." She said it not with that sweet, angelic voice, but a commanding voice that made you realize that you meant that the Christ child was born for each and every one of us, and that the good news the angel brought was for everyone in all the world. The wise men came not bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but a ham. A ham that had been a gift to the family from the church's benevolence ministry. They placed the ham at the manger, the best and only gift those three boys had to give to Jesus. Instead of pretending to confer with one another and leave a different way as rehearsed, the boys stayed. They just sat down and stared at the scene before them with a sense of wonder and awe. The herdmans were indeed unpredictable. The pageant was unpredictable, and that's what made it holy. As the whole town watched and waited for the herdmans to ruin the Christmas pageant, Mary wept as she cared for her baby. The Herdman family discovered the wonder of Christmas, and through them, a group of jaded kids and skeptical parents saw a glimpse of that wonder as well. God moves and acts in wholly unpredictable ways, and sometimes we find God in the most unexpected ways, in the most unexpected places, and in the most unexpected people. It is in the unpredictable, in the unexpected, that we find the holy. My wish for you this Christmas is that you find Christmas in holy and unpredictable ways, and that you approach the manger with the same humility, the same sacrifice, and the same wonder as the herdman children did. Their lives were forever changed by the love and the grace that they found there. May your lives be changed likewise.
Peace of Christ be with you. Turn for just a moment and share the peace of Christ with those around you. We're grateful to have you to worship with us this morning. I know I particularly, in a society that tends to over-intellectualize everything, just the simplicity and the innocence of this morning's display of the Nativity is just heartwarming for me, and I hope it was for you. Our kids did a great job. We are nearing the end of this year, which means our Advent and Christmas worship opportunities are winding down. But we do have a very special service tonight, and you'll want to make sure you come back for that. That will be filled with carols and readings, and we'll also use candlelight for that ever so special moment as we head toward the Christmas day. We'll also be having communion tonight, so that'll happen all at 5:30 p.m. in this room. So make sure to bring your families back for a good time to be together on Christmas Eve night. Next Sunday morning, the 31st, just make sure you have on your calendar that the worship times are going to be a little different. That's a 10:30 a.m. service. That's next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Before that, we'll have some donuts set up so y'all can come and gather, fellowship. You can come in your PJs if you want. But that'll be a really great morning of worship. So some worship opportunities that are coming up. Thank you for being here. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces, but also some new faces. So even as we leave this morning, make sure to share with one another, say hello, and ask how everyone's doing. It's kind of a homecoming, everyone coming back for Christmas. Good to have you this morning. Let's go out singing. Filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. May we go in peace.